recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Erwig and Corey LeBounty.
Bob, you'll get a real sense of the hatred that makes football so great.
I've got the fever, gambling fever.
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
I'm a gumdrop button.
You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
And welcome in, FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Another Monday where we can talk about football. Not very many of those left. We've already reached the end of the college football regular season. That came to an official end with Army-Navy on Saturday. Going to wrap up Week 15 of the NFL tonight with the New Orleans Saints and Indianapolis Colts. And it's all downhill from here, Corey. Bowl games, playoff games. Heck, we just had the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star High School game, which you called on Saturday, so that brings it into the high school season, and it goes by way, 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 way too quickly.
I mean, the anticipation of it getting here, and just like that, it's over with, Dalton. But excited that, you know, you still have NFL after the College Bowl series is over to feed us over into the beginning of February. And until that time, you know, after that, you look forward to spring training or spring practice in April, and then it turns around and then you're waiting those 3 months for August to roll back around. But some great bowl games coming up and a lot of football yet left to be played.
Yeah, and here on Sports Night, of course, we love talking football, but we talk all the sports. That's why it's Sports Night, not Football Night. So we'll talk some college basketball tonight, a little bit of NBA talk as the New Orleans Pelicans continue to slide, and we'll get into all of that tonight. Brought to you by Valentino's Italian Cuisine, a new Italian food spot right there on Azalea Road next to Michael Boulevard, and we broadcast live from there to begin December, back on December the 2nd, and I think I'm still full from the meal that I had then. I got the chicken parm sub back then. I know, Corey, you got the hero, so that's next up on my list at Valentino's Italian Cuisine, but they've got a huge menu, even bigger portions, takeout and delivery through Grubhub. Just an awesome place to go get some lunch or some dinner.
If you have not yet tried it again, $9.99 lunch buffet that they serve as well, so you can get your pizza, your salad. They'll fix the pizza any which way you ask for them to do it. Whatever kind of combination you want, they'll make sure that they take care of you. But again, the portions, Dalton, are what I really love, because anything that you get, you're definitely going to need it to go box to go.
And the plan is to go live from there again in January, and I think I'll go ahead and open up this little competition that we were planning on having. And starting tonight, if you send a text, 251-343-0106, just label it Sports Night. I will buy the dinner for whoever calls the biggest upset. Doesn't matter. It can be football, it can be college or NFL, it can be a college basketball upset, it can be a NBA upset. I'll look at the odds. You call the upset, which team is going to beat which team, and you don't even have to put a score on there, just that this underdog is going to win the game. And at the end, once we go back out to Valentino, should be sometime in the beginning of January, I will look through the texts, and we'll talk about them here on the air as you send them in, and whoever calls the biggest upset, I'll go back and look at the lines that were put out by Vegas. You'll get free dinner at Valentino's Italian Cuisine from the guys here at Sports Night right here on FM Talk 106.5. So check them out and send us your big underdog winners and get a free meal at Valentino's. Well, let's get to the headlines. It was a busy weekend in sports, and golf taking center stage again, especially with no college football other than the Army-Navy game being played this weekend. And what a competition they had out in Melbourne, Australia this weekend. Tiger Woods was in the center of it all, and Team USA rallied to win the 13th edition of the President's Cup. Of course, the President's Cup is a little different than the Ryder Cup. Now, in the Ryder Cup, you have the Americans versus the Europeans, and that's always a really good competition. Of course, Europe being the home of golf. With the President's Cup, you got the Americans versus basically the rest of the world, not including Europe. And traditionally, they haven't been very good in the President's Cup. They've won once in the previous 12 editions of the game. But they got really close to winning it this last weekend, took off pretty early in the first 2 days, and were really putting it to Team USA. So the Americans came into the final day trailing 10 points to 8. And that final day, it's all about the one-on-one matchups. And the Americans ended up winning 6 of the 12 singles matches, split 4 of them to come back and beat the international squad 16 to 14. But the story of this whole event was Tiger Woods. He played in the event. He was also the team captain. First time that's happened since the inaugural President's Cup. And then he put himself up there first on Sunday. He didn't play at all Saturday, which was a bit of a surprise. They had two different sessions of four ball and alternate shot, and Tiger didn't come out at all on Saturday, even though he was playing better than the rest of them. But he puts himself out there first on Sunday, beats Abraham Answer from Mexico, and improved his record to 3-0 for the week. And he also moved into first place on the President's Cup career win list. He's got an overall match record of 27-15-1. And so Tiger Woods, in his 9th President's Cup as a player, gets it done, his first as a captain, and Team USA bringing home the belt from Melbourne, Australia this weekend.
I call it the Tiger Tease. Tiger Woods is now 43 years of age, and it's a situation to where he'll have a tremendous match, just like he did at the Masters. I mean, a lot of people wanted to see Tiger win the Masters, and of course he did. And then you turn around and then the injuries kind of come back and bite him, and he's not able to go ahead and continue on that momentum and just build off of his wins, build off of the Tiger Mania. But everybody, I don't care what day of play it is, wants to see Tiger tee it off and wants to see him do well. But 43 years of age, he still has, to me, plenty of golf left in him. And 2020, we'll see what it holds for him.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason that he took Saturday off. I think it was twofold. He said, hey, I want you guys to go out there and handle it. Show me that you've got what it takes to keep us in this. But also, that day of rest ended up being pretty clutch for him come Sunday, when he ended up winning his singles match against a guy who is really, really good, a young up-and-comer, that Abraham Answer. And I think if Tiger was showing us a little bit about what he might be able to do this upcoming season, I think he might have a few more wins in him, and hopefully he can pull off at least one more major tournament win this year. In college basketball, and we'll get further into detail for the SEC basketball season coming up, but over the weekend, everybody played after taking at least a week off for most of the teams, and the 12th-ranked Auburn Tigers, who are holding steady now in the AP Top 25 poll that was released today, they improved to 9-0 with a 67-61 win against St. Louis. And with that win that moved them to 9-0, Auburn's now tied the 4th-best start to a season in program history. And get this, they're the last undefeated Power 5 college basketball team in the nation.
Again, that's why we wanted to encourage everyone to come out and watch Auburn and South Alabama play. Little did we know that Auburn, being undefeated, playing South Alabama at the time and had a couple of struggle wins, would continue to be 8-0 at this point in time throughout the season. So if you had an opportunity to come out to the Mitchell Cylinder and watch them play, you absolutely got a treat. At that time, they were cracking in maybe top 17 or 18 in the country, and they've continued to move up. But Bruce Pearl has a squad that's going to continue to get better, Dalton.
Yeah, and we were wondering how they were going to do with the loss of Jared Harper and Bryce Brown and Chuma Okeke. The freshman coming in, Isaac Okoro, has been a revelation for them. He's been outstanding. But you got a couple guys that were hanging around in the wings, I guess not literally in the wings on the court, but sometimes. And some of these backcourt guys who were on the bench a lot last year are really showing out this year. And Javon McCormick had a great game on Saturday against St. Louis. Alabama, with Nate Oates in his first season, they're still trying to right the ship. And they had another tough one on Saturday. They lost to Penn State. After Penn State won a big, big top 25 game earlier in the week, Alabama lost a close one, 73-71. They're now 4-5 to begin their year. The biggest game on Saturday was a Tennessee matchup. You had number 19-ranked Tennessee taking on number 13 Memphis in Knoxville, and Penny Hardaway's squad comes away from the Thompson Bowling Arena with a 51-47 win, and that's without their star player, James Wiseman, who's still dealing with that suspension from the NCAA. So that was a huge win for Memphis, and they moved up this week from 13 to 11. Tennessee dropped from 19 to 21 in the polls. And then some of these other games, you had Kentucky, they're ranked 8th. They beat Georgia Tech 67-53, and they ended up moving up 2 spots in the poll to number 6 this week. Mississippi State beat Kansas State 67-61. Arkansas over Tulsa 98-79, and the Hogs are now 9-1 this year. Ole Miss beat head coach Kermit Davis's former team MTSU 82 to 62-64. Arizona State got the win over Georgia, 79-59. Liberty over Vandy, 61-56. The Flames in basketball, still undefeated. And then they've got a bowl game coming up in football this week. Their first year in the FBS. They've got the former Ole Miss coach for them there, coaching Liberty, Hugh Freeze, and taking them to a bowl game. So I guess great time to be a Liberty Flames fan all of a sudden.
I mean, anytime you can get both programs and be successful at the forefront of what you're doing, I tell you, the alumni and generating those dollars for the university is important.
It sure is. Coming back, we'll talk about that Army-Navy game on Saturday, the Heisman Trophy ceremony, which Joe Burrow won the award in a record-setting fashion. And we'll talk NFL playoffs tonight, too. You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5, presented by Valentino's Italian Cuisine.
You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Erwig and Corey LaBounty. Call the show or text your thoughts to 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night, presented by Valentino's Italian Cuisine. Dalton Erwig, Corey LaBounty, and my buddy Tim Gould in here with us on this Monday night.
Hey, buddy.
Stay safe out there. Bad weather moving into the area overnight, so keep those phones nearby.
Yeah, I know they got tornado warnings and whatnot in Mississippi. Like, it's,
they had touchdown in Louisiana, right, and didn't look good. So be careful tonight. Those overnight storms are certainly scary things. Get you a weather radio. If you were listening to Midday Mobile at all today with Sean Sullivan, he was preaching the importance of a weather radio, not just a normal FM radio where you can listen to FM Talk 106.5. Maybe have two. Have one with us on, and keep you a weather radio nearby so you can get any alerts of bad weather moving into the area. But be safe out there tonight. I want to talk about the Heisman Trophy ceremony. I also want to talk about the Army-Navy game. But one of the headlines I wanted to get to, Corey, before we get into that, the New Orleans Pelicans, who had all the hopes and dreams going into this season. They get Zion Williamson, number one overall, the savior of the franchise. They were hoping, especially with Anthony Davis heading out to L.A., who the Lakers are having just an outstanding start to their season. But yesterday, New Orleans loses to Orlando 130-119 and actually set a new record for futility for the Pelicans, 12 losses in a row, and they dropped to 6-20. The team had never lost 12 in a row before, which I would have lost that trivia question because the Pelicans and Hornets have seen some bad days in their time. The worst losing streak they'd had before this was 11 in a row, and they did that twice, once back in 04 when they were still the Hornets, and then again in 2012 in their first year as the Pelicans. But you look at the reason for this bad losing streak, and it's all on the defense here. Pelicans, they entered yesterday's game 29th in the league in defensive rating and scoring defense, and are giving up an average of 121.5 points a game and losing by an average of about 12 points per game. Now, I know that they're hoping to get Zion back soon, but the more they lose, the more it's like, well, why rush him back? From that meniscus injury that he had surgery for, if we're not in contention, might as well wait and let the kid heal completely before we get him out there. But even when they do get him back, and that 6 to 8 week time frame from his surgery in October, the 8 weeks would have put him at playing against Brooklyn tomorrow night. And obviously he's not going to be playing because he hasn't been practicing with the team. But I hate to tell you, when Zion gets back, the offensive numbers might jump up, but you're still going to be lacking on defense.
Yeah, I think it's a situation to where if you're a Pelicans fan, you don't want to go ahead and tank it because you're still in a situation where you can get lottery picks and you're hoping that Zion Williamson does come back and play for you. But if you were a season ticket holder, when they went ahead and got that draft pick and knew that Zion was going to be their overall draft pick coming to the Pelicans as a franchise player, the excitement around that franchise was unbelievable. And now almost the All-Star game here coming in February, late January, you're in a situation where you're like, okay, yeah, can we keep this roster intact the way it is? Alvin Gentry renewed as the head coach. So there's some things that are going to go on within that franchise to where there comes a point here, end of January, do you go ahead and say, look, we're all in trying to be like the Golden State Warriors, knowing that we're going to have to turn back to the lottery again to kind of restructure this roster?
Yeah, and I don't think you want to give up any of your current assets. They've already got more picks than you could possibly need. I mean, you can only roster so many guys in the NBA. I think in the trade talk that maybe they'd give up Drew Holiday for more picks. That just, at this point, doesn't make any sense to me to let go of Drew Holiday or any of these other top performers that they have on the team. Just wait. Let them grow with Zion once he gets back out there, and then use the bevy of picks you've already accumulated with all these Anthony Davis trades and all the other trades they've made. And then once you get into the draft, you're right. If you're still near the bottom of the league, well, heck, you still get your picks, and those are still going to be good picks.
Again, 6-21 right now, the Pelicans. Only the Golden State Warriors. I said the Golden State Warriors at 5-23 have a worse record right now than the New Orleans Pelicans.
Man, how the times have changed. And the Warriors, I think if you had to put it to a vote right now, with this being the end of 2019 and the end of a decade, they're the team of the decade. They won how many? Four championships here in the last so many years, and now they're the worst team in the league, and I think they're playing it smart, too. Let Curry rest up. Let Klay Thompson rest up. Give all your guys some good rest and come back in 2020 with a fresh roster there. Joe Burrow ends up walking away with the Heisman, walking off the stage at Radio City Music Hall in New York City on Saturday night, and did it by a landslide. Got a first-place vote on 841 of 927 ballots on Saturday night. That's only 14 votes behind O.J. Simpson's record of 855 first-place votes. He set that, of course, in USC back in 1968. But Burrow's 1,846-point margin of victory actually broke Simpson's record of 1,750. And you look at the rest of the top four, Oklahoma quarterback Jalen Hurts came in second, Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields third, and Ohio State defensive end Chase Young finishing fourth in the Heisman voting on Saturday night.
Situation to where you're looking at LSU having their second all-time Heisman winner, and isn't kind of interesting that it's 60 years later after Billy Cannon wins it in 1959, that Joe Burrow turns around and wins it in 2019. And the first quarterback since Johnny Manziel in the SEC to win the Heisman, and that's kind of amazing too, in 2012. So just some interesting facts there to go along with a well-deserved Heisman for Joe Burrow. And I had no doubt in my mind after he absolutely torched Alabama. Mm-hmm. I was like, go ahead and hand it to him. I mean, all he's got to do is finish. Doesn't matter what he does these last two or three games. He could throw six interceptions and it wouldn't take away from what he was able to accomplish prior to torching the Crimson Tide. But he capped his season off, has unfinished business, so we'll see if the streak continues to where a Heisman winner can go ahead, actually win the Heisman and the national championship in the same year.
And that actually, believe it or not, hasn't been done in the playoff era. No one since the playoffs began has won both the Heisman and the national championship. And we'll see a good matchup of quarterbacks anyway. You could say what you want about the defensive play, but when LSU meets number four Oklahoma in the Peach Bowl on December 28th, we'll see number one versus number two there with Joe Burrow taking on Jalen Hurts. And when he got up there to give his Heisman speech, there's been a couple times where I've had to give a speech or a toast of some sort, and usually we're talking small events here, and I'm able to hold it together because most of the time it's not very emotional. But I remember one year my brother graduated from the Air Force Academy, and we had this big party of people over, and by big, I mean we had 15, 20 people over to celebrate him graduating from the Air Force Academy. And they said, Dalton, get up there and say something about, you know, your brother graduating. And, oh, man, I get up there, and I'm like, oh, I'm fine. And I start talking about, you know, growing up with my little brother, and I start to lose it a little bit. And I had a little tear in my eye and got choked up. Can you imagine something you've worked for your entire life? And you've put your heart and soul into it in Joe Burrow's case, and if any of these other guys other than Chase Young would have won their case also, going to one university where you plan to win a Heisman and a national championship, things not working out there and transferring to another school, in Burrow's case from Ohio State to LSU, he's written off by everyone, even after his first year playing for the Tigers, where he finishes, you know, middle of the pack in the SEC as far as passing yardage and touchdowns, and no one really expected much out of him this year. And for him to go on the run that he did and then get up there and give that speech to so many of the people that doubted him and so many of the people that believed in him, I was right there with him when he was choked up. He had a lot of trouble speaking, and then he went on to give a really good speech and highlighted the poverty in his home area there in southeastern Ohio, and then talked about Ed Orgeron believing in him. And you know, when he gave handshakes before he got up there on the stage to everyone that, you know, came there for him, he had the longest row of hands to shake of anyone ever, because not only did he shake hands with his family, mom, dad, uncles, brothers, sisters, and Ed Orgeron, the LSU staff, then he went over to the Ohio State side and shook hands with Ryan Day, because that was the guy he came up with. So Joe Burrow, a really emotional speech on Saturday night.
I mean, it did. It touched me as well, and I think everything that he said, you could see that people were really paying attention to what he had to say and knew that it was an emotional, heartfelt given speech, and it's one of the most emotional speeches that you'll see from a Heisman Trophy winner. And like you said, Dalton, the thing when he mentioned about the poverty level and the donations that have come into the food pantry in his hometown of Ohio since he made that speech, over $150,000,
wow,
have been now donated to a food pantry right here in the time of need for Christmas. And it's a situation also to where he graduated from Ohio State in 3 years. So, of course, by getting that degree in 3 years, of course he's going to show love not only for his O-line, but, of course, the Buckeyes fans and being an Ohio native as well.
Well, he certainly ran away with it on Saturday night, and then if the first thing that comes up after that are the odds for the 2020 Heisman Trophy, and at the top, Justin Fields at +250, and he's followed closely by Trevor Lawrence at 3-1. And man, you got to look at Trevor Lawrence there coming into next year after he had some hiccups this year. Mac Jones third on the odds right now at 8-1, and then Bo Nix 9-1, Jake Fromm 10-1, and Shane Rattler, the Oklahoma Sooners soon-to-be quarterback, also up there on the list. Tua finishing 10th in this year's voting. Did you have a gripe with that? We'll find out from Corey here in a minute. You could call, let us know, 251-343-0106, and we'll be right back. More Sports Night on the way.
Sports Talk to start your week. You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night.
I wasn't born for digging deep holes.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night, presented by Valentino's Italian Cuisine. Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty with you. So joined in studio by Tim Gould.
Thanks, buddy.
Have to get you into the Illinois talk here in a minute, college basketball, or maybe some Chicago Bears NFL talk. I know.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
Lots to get into. And reminder, Valentino's, we'll be back out there live with the FM Talk 106.5 mobile command unit here in January. And starting now, if you text in a big upset that you think might happen, doesn't matter, college football, NFL, college basketball, NBA, heck, you can even bring hockey into the mix, because I'm watching that. And we will pick the biggest upset winner that was predicted on the text line and buy you some dinner at Valentino's, get you a couple big pies or maybe some heroes. Or I mean, they've got so much good food there. Really just an outstanding menu there at Valentino's. And if you want to go by for lunch, they have an outstanding pizza and salad buffet. And you can go out during your lunch hour, get some pizza and salad from the buffet, get back to work with a full stomach and be ready to roll, or have it delivered to you from Grubhub. They also do takeout there, so check it out, Valentino's Italian Cuisine. We had the final regular season game of the year on Saturday. It's an annual event, Navy and Army, and of course they play in Philadelphia now at Lincoln Financial every year. And start off slow for Navy, but they ended up coming back and crushing Army 31-7. It was the 120th time that these two service academies have met. And it was all about Navy senior quarterback Malcolm Perry on Saturday. Just continued his already record-setting season. Rushed for a career-high 304 yards. That's the most ever in an Army-Navy game, where we've seen some guys rush for some yards with those option offenses that they run. Also, it was only the fourth time in college football history that a quarterback has rushed for over 300 yards. And along the way, he went ahead and passed up Will Wirth to become Navy's all-time single-season total offense leader with 2,831 yards. And he surpassed Napoleon McCallum, which is the most Naval Academy name ever. He passed Napoleon McCallum up to become the single-season rushing leader with 1,804 yards. And with that win, Navy won the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy for the 16th time and also snapped a three-game losing streak to Army, who Navy had a pretty good streak up against until 2016. I think Navy had won 14 in a row, and then Army went and won the last three, and then Navy gets it back this weekend. But Malcolm Perry, he is something to behold. And good news for him is that if an NFL team will take a crack on him, he will be allowed now to enter the NFL. He doesn't have to serve his, you know, 4 years or however many he's supposed to serve and what they've traditionally served before entering the civilian workforce. Now the and Barack Obama, when he was president, he allowed service academy players to do so with a waiver to move into the NFL, NBA, MLB, wherever. But now it's official that if you're good enough to play in a professional league, you'll be allowed to. And I'm sure some NFL teams saw that on Saturday and saw what he's done the rest of the year and might want to take a look at Mr. Malcolm Perry.
Now, let me ask you this, Dalton. Does he have the type of numbers that'll make him your baller of the week?
Yeah, I think it's pretty easy this week for, at least if we're talking college ranks, Malcolm Perry. He is the baller of the week in my mind. 304 yards rushing, and if you watched him at all running the ball, it's almost like watching a guy. It reminds me, you know, if we took Johnny Manziel in his senior year at Texas A&M and then put him up against some high school teams, that's what Malcolm Perry looked like running the ball on Saturday against Army. So I do think he deserves to be the baller of the week. The other one that I was close to, and do you have a baller of the week?
I do, and I'm going to jump to the NFL, and we'll go back to college football after I name my baller of the week. But my baller of the week is Jameis Winston, the first player in NFL history to throw for 450 yards in consecutive games, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers get the win over the Detroit Lions, 38-17. So, I mean, that's very impressive. Buccaneers now 7-7, but the first player in NFL history, that can be good or bad anytime you start talking about that, but Jameis Winston throwing for over 450 is very impressive.
And Jameis has certainly had his bad stats that go in that other category too. I think, I don't know if he's hit 30 interceptions yet. I don't think so, because he only threw one on Sunday, but he could be the first quarterback to throw 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions in 1 year. But Tampa Bay with quite the turnaround, now 7-7, and Bruce Arians doing a pretty good job in his first year as head coach. And on top of that, he did it without Mike Evans, who's out for the year, one of the top receivers in the league. And now it looks like he'll be without Chris Godwin for at least this coming week, who really stepped in and has played well even while Mike Evans was playing. But Chris Godwin out now too. So we'll see if James can keep it rolling this coming weekend against Houston. We've got bowl games coming up. They get started this Friday. We've got a couple games. And then on Saturday, we've got a lot more games. But the games I want to talk about right now involve the two biggest schools in this state, Auburn and Alabama. And both teams got some really good news over the weekend. We'll start with Auburn, where senior All-American defensive tackle Derrick Brown uploaded a short video to his Instagram on Friday night saying that he plans to play against Minnesota in the Outback Bowl in Tampa, and that is great news for Auburn fans. And at this point, you should come to expect it from the guy. He's a team player through and through. We're talking about someone who is very likely to be a top 10 draft pick in the NFL 2020 draft, and not a whole lot for Auburn to win with this bowl game. Of course, it'd be really nice to come out of the season with a win in the bowl game, but for Derrick Brown specifically, there's a lot of risk that goes into this. We saw it with Jalen Smith, the linebacker for Notre Dame, when Ezekiel Elliott ended up, I mean, he tore everything in his leg that 1 year when Ohio State was playing Notre Dame. And since then, we've seen so many players sit out the bowl game. Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, just to name a couple big names. But Derrick Brown said he's coming and he's ready to play.
I just get disappointed in these players who decide to forego a bowl game. I think that if you've gone 12 to 13 weeks with your team, go ahead and finish what you start. And again, there's no guarantee that those who sit out will be a top five pick, but at the same time, you've already been in the trenches for that long. You're going to continue to train. So we've seen, how many injuries have you heard of with players non-contact or in training in the offseason injure themselves?
Well, a similar story would be Jeffrey Simmons, Mississippi State defensive lineman who injured his ACL. He tore his ACL training in February for the draft, and that ended up costing him a lot of money. He dropped to, I think, 18th on the board to the Titans. He ended up having a superhuman rehab and has played well this year, but you can hurt yourself anywhere.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, getting out of the shower, slipping in the tub, I mean, it's just a situation to where, to me, you don't let your teammates down. You go ahead and you finish the season, because it's the same thing that you learned growing up. You know, my mom and dad told me, you're going to finish what you start. If you start it, you're going to finish it. And I think you're letting not only your fans who have paid, you know, great money and great amounts of money to watch you play, I think that you should go ahead and finish with your team. But, I mean, Derrick Brown, he takes home the Lott Impact Trophy on Sunday night. He's named a first-team AP All-American. He was already named to the Walter Camp All-American team. So the awards are going to continue to come for the 6'5", 320-pound defensive tackle. And I'm glad that he decided to go ahead and play with his team, unlike a couple of Alabama players, Terrell Lewis and Trayvon Diggs, who decided to go ahead and skip the bowl game with the Alabama Crimson Tide to go ahead and focus on the NFL draft.
Yeah, with Bama. They did get some good news over the weekend. Bama, in just a second, Malzahn, he did say that he doesn't expect any other players to sit out, but we should expect that with a leader like Derrick Brown coming out and saying he's going to play. We saw it last year when he said he's coming back for his final season. Marlon Davidson got in line and a couple other guys. So Auburn should have pretty much their entire team ready to roll. And you talked about those two Alabama players that are out. But Jerry Jeudy, he makes an announcement Friday night that he will play in the bowl game, in the Citrus Bowl against Michigan. And I'd say, I mean, they've got some good receivers, but Jerry Jeudy, a more important piece to the puzzle than those two other guys you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, again, why not play in the bowl game? I mean, if you're going to sit there and tell me it's because of dollar signs or because of your projection in the draft, to me, it just gives you more on tape. It gives you an opportunity to play against elite competition because you don't hear any of Michigan's players saying they're not going to play. You don't hear any of Minnesota's players saying they're not going to play. And true enough, of course, Michigan does not have as many future pros as Alabama does. Neither does Minnesota. But the point is, you've ridden it out this long. Continue to ride it out with your team.
And did you see P.J. Fleck got the entire Minnesota team to send thank you notes to the Outback Bowl for inviting them to the game? That's something I've never seen before. It is first class. Also, a little cheesy, but definitely very first class.
Well, you know, you're talking about first class, and we just talked about Auburn's All-Americans. Alabama had five on the second or third team AP All-American teams, and for the first time did not have any on the first Associated Press All-American team for the first time since 2010. So to me, that was kind of a shocker in that situation, because you would figure one of the wide receivers or maybe Waddle, somebody would be able to crack that first team All-American. Even somebody on the defensive side of the football as far as a first team All-American did not make it, but Auburn had theirs.
Yeah, there was a lot of yardage and touchdowns to go around for the receivers. I am surprised that Waddle did not get special teams on the first team All-American. That's pretty unbelievable to me, but and pretty crazy that Alabama had that stat to begin with, that they've been so good for so long that it's a surprise when they don't get a first team All-American.
I agree, and the young man from Kentucky, the junior who said he is going to go, I think Lynn Bowden.
Yeah.
Bowden, I mean, very deserving, very dynamic player, a third-string quarterback who wound up starting at quarterback for Kentucky at the end of the year and just went crazy on Louisville. I still don't see where, as an all-purpose player, he's better than Waddle.
No.
I that's just my opinion. And again, you know, I guess they're looking at the versatility of, and I know Bowden will go extremely high in the NFL for that reason. But again, Alabama shut out from having a first team All-American for the first time since 2010.
And we'll be all right.
Yeah, I think they'll manage.
Be all right. Yeah.
And we'll wrap up this segment with some huge news. Alabama's quarterback finally makes an announcement about his future. Of course, I'm talking about the one and only Mac Jones, who came out on social media this weekend, and he's already graduated. We're talking about a third-year sophomore here, but if you thought he was done with school, you were wrong. He's entering the master's program there in Tuscaloosa. So Mac Jones, the decision from an Alabama quarterback that everyone's been waiting weeks for now at this point, he comes out and makes it official that he is coming back to school. And, of course, I say that in jest because we're still waiting to see what Tua Tagovailoa's decision is, whether he will come back to Alabama next season. He, along with so many other Alabama players, Jerry Jeudy and all these other guys that have played so well, Devontae Smith, that have the option to enter the NFL NFL draft. They have until January 20th now to make that decision official. I believe that Jerry Jeudy will enter the draft, but I've heard rumors out there that a lot of Bama players are planning to come back.
Well, I mean, I'd be happy if Devontae Smith decides to come back. Dylan Moses, he talked about can't wait to get back on the field. I mean, of course, he was injured this season with that knee injury and didn't have an opportunity to kind of solidify that defense for Alabama. But again, Jerry Jeudy being a true team player, deciding to play in the bowl game with his team, and he's a guy that, to me, probably runs better routes than Amari Cooper does.
How nervous do you think his soon-to-be agent will be on New Year's Day?
Don't hurt yourself, Jerry. He'll push himself because, trust me, Alabama's going to want to beat Michigan, and throwing Jerry Jeudy the football is one way to do it.
All right, big Monday night football game coming up, New Orleans and Indianapolis. We'll get into that and the rest of the NFL playoff picture when we get back.
You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night, presented by Valentino's Italian Cuisine. Got Monday Night Football coming up. The New Orleans Saints and Indianapolis Colts, and injuries on both sides of the ball. Saints favored by 9 tonight. They're currently 10-3 and holding down that number 3 spot in the NFC playoff picture. And some pretty big changes yesterday with San Francisco losing to Atlanta in an unbelievable way. Julio Jones getting across the goal line with 2 seconds to play. And then for grins and giggles after that, the Atlanta Falcons going ahead and scoring another touchdown with no time remaining. But that made some pretty big moves in the NFC playoff picture, because you had San Francisco, who seemed to be holding down that top spot in the playoffs forever. And with that loss, they drop to the first wild card, which would be the number 5 seed, and that moves Seattle up to the number 1 overall seed. And you look at it now, I mean, the NFC is just so stacked outside of the NFC East that you've got 4 teams with only 3 losses, and then the second wild card, the Minnesota Vikings, only have 4 losses. So right now, Seattle's in first place. They're 11-3. They're at the very top of the NFC. The Green Bay Packers, who got the win over Tim's Chicago Bears this weekend, they're playing well under first-year coach Matt LaFleur, which I was dead wrong on that. I thought they'd be awful. I did not believe in Matt LaFleur, and he's proven me wrong, and that all has to do with defense and run game. But beyond that, the Packers are playing well. They're holding down the second seed, and they get the bye if it stands that way. So New Orleans has a lot to play for tonight. They're the third seed in the NFC, and if they win out, they have a good chance at potentially moving into one of those first 2 seeds and getting the first round bye. Of course, last week New Orleans lost a heartbreaking shootout to the 49ers, and that hurt their chances of getting that first overall seed, but they get a good chance tonight to put another W on the board when they play Indianapolis. Now, you look at New Orleans, they're dealing with some injuries. Marcus Davenport, the defensive end who we saw play down here in the Senior Bowl just a couple years ago, he's been outstanding this year, but he's out for the rest of the year. And also defensive tackle Sheldon Rankin's out. And they've already ruled out earlier this week safety Von Bell and 2 cornerbacks, Patrick Robinson and Johnson Batamosi. So they're hurting pretty good tonight. But Indy's wide receivers, they are also having a lot of injury problems. T.Y. Hilton did announce that he'll play tonight. He's been out 5 of the last 6 weeks. I'm not sure that he'll be moving at full speed, so I'm not sure we'll get the full T.Y. Hilton experience tonight. And Indy's quarterback, Jacoby Brissett, started the year off hot, but he's really kind of fallen down a few pegs these last few weeks. And big win for New Orleans tonight that they need to have.
You look at who's eliminated in the NFC: the Bears, the Buccaneers, the Falcons, the Panthers, the Cardinals, the Lions, the Redskins, and the Giants. All out in the NFC. In the AFC, the Jaguars, the Broncos, the Chargers, the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Bengals are also eliminated from playoff positions. But you mentioned that the jockeying that's going on, the Saints, again, cannot afford to lose tonight, because if I'm not mistaken, they have the Titans coming up here next week as well.
Yeah, and I'd say the Saints are pretty well locked into at least that number 3 seed, because you look at whoever wins the NFC East, both the Cowboys and Eagles are 7-7. Saints have already clinched their division, and Cowboys and Eagles, they'll play week 17 to determine the winner of that division. So they'll be the 4th seed, and then 49ers and Vikings are pretty well locked into the 5th and 6th seeds, unless if Minnesota loses out and the Rams win out, they could take that last spot. But the Giants, it was great to see Eli Manning potentially go out on a winning note. I'm not sure if this will be his last start for New York, but he gave a fiery pregame speech and then goes out there and leads the Giants to a win. And the Saints actually pick up a Giant of their own the second time in the last 3 years that this has happened. Remember, Eli Apple kind of talked his way out of New York. He was a bad apple. And that was an awful pun, but they were pretty upset with how Eli Apple was acting while he was in New York. He leaves, ends up going to New Orleans, and now we're seeing that New Orleans has picked up Janoris Jenkins, who got into some hot water this last week for using some derogatory, some mean words he was using towards a fan that you're not exactly supposed to say in this day and age, and New Orleans hoping to bolster their secondary with Janoris Jenkins. Since they got him off waivers, they won't be able to really put him on the team officially until next week, but he could come in handy come playoffs time. And looking at the AFC, the Ravens, they could clinch the top seed if they beat the Browns this week. Lamar Jackson's just been amazing this year. Patriots still holding down that number two seed, even though they've kind of fallen down a little bit these last few weeks. They're 11-3. Chiefs are currently in the three seed at 10-4. The Houston Texans won a huge game in Nashville yesterday to take the lead in the AFC South, and they're 9-5 this year. They beat the Titans. Titans fall to 8-6, and thanks to the Steelers losing last night to the Buffalo Bills, the Bills move up to 10-4, holding down that fifth spot in the race pretty handily, and the Steelers drop to 8-6. So Steelers and Titans have a close race for that final wild card spot here coming up with the year ending, and the Titans could potentially take over the top spot in the AFC South if the Texans were to lose to Tampa Bay this coming week and then lose to Tennessee in Houston. So that's kind of a look right now across the NFL playoff picture. A whole bunch of teams have been eliminated, and now a couple coaches might be on their way out. There was a lot of talk of Jason Garrett potentially being gone after this year. I'm not sure if the Cowboys' big win over the Rams yesterday changes that at all, but one name to look for, Freddie Kitchens. The Cleveland Browns head coach, in his first year as head coach, doesn't look like he's long for that position, Corey.
It's a situation to where, to me, Freddie Kitchens was not ready to be a head coach, but if ownership gives you the job, of course you're going to take it. I mean, it's a situation that the Browns and Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr., it's been a mess all season long, and Kitchens, he needs to get out.
And Cleveland, the only NFL team to not have a winning season all decade long. Didn't change this year. They're now officially unable to have a winning season. And, well, that went fast. That does it. Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. We'll be back next Monday night for your pre-Christmas edition of Sports Night. We're presented by Valentino's Italian Cuisine. Have a great night, everyone.